Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. And boy, I've got a beautiful person with me today. I have Elijah Rock, and Elijah's doing a command performance. And I'm super excited because it's a few days before my birthday, so I will be there. He's at the Ensemble Theater, the New Vic. And it'll be August 22nd at 8 p.m., one night only. And we're going to experience an album that Richard and I were listening to last night. It's Elijah Locke Live in Memories Unleashed. And this is, there's a story behind this. And we're going to get into what that means, Memories Unleashed, and what that means to Elijah. But suffice to say, it's a beautiful album. He was known to us, and Richard, you were asking this before we got on the air. How do we know Elijah? Well, it's because he did a portrayal of Porgy in ETC's Porgy and Bess not too long ago. And so that's how Santa Barbara knows Elijah. He's a baritone, and you'll see Richard's going to be giving us some of the music in and out of this interview as well. And he is going to perform with the trio on August 22nd, Todd Hunter, Rayford Giffen, and Edward Livingston I think it's Todd on piano, Rayford on drums, and Edwin on bass. Is it bass? Yes. Okay. And then we are going to hear some classics. And you know, this is a super important thing. This is the classics. These are the pieces that go with you and go with you till you actually leave the planet. This is how I think of the classics. Route 66, Don't Get Around Much Anymore. Unforgettable, Here's to Life. I loved your rendition of Here's to Life. I could really see that you were thinking the lyrics through, and that there was some, I mean, Elijah, it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Is You or Is You Ain't My Baby. And his last album, I have to say, he spent 7 consecutive weeks in Jazz Week's Top 40 and got national airplay, and he was praised for a swinging style and a large voice. And we were listening, John, who's my partner, who's going to float in and out, Elijah. We were listening to you last night, and he's like, is that Frank Sinatra? No, that's Elijah Rock. Same kind of, you know, wonderful, evocative way of portraying a song. And so we want to talk about that, but I want to just say, I know that you studied at the Cleveland School, and I know you were a gifted child in music, but I want to start there, Elijah. I want to start with how you evolved as a musician. How old were you? What did you practice? You know, what was your studio like when you were young? Who inspired you? What teachers got under your skin? Mm. I want to start with young Elijah in Cleveland.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bring me back.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show, Elizabeth. It's a pleasure. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland, as they say, is a great place to be from. Boom, boom. It is one of the richest arts communities in the country. So when I was a little boy, you know, I started singing in the church, and I went to a Mennonite, urban Mennonite church. So we had the luxury of singing the hymns, and we had a gospel choir. There was a gentleman by the name of Gerald Hughes who was the hymnal director, and he was a vocalist in the adult Cleveland Orchestra Choir. And he was the first to suggest to my mother that I should audition for the children's chorus at the Cleveland Orchestra. And this is, you know, as a boy soprano. And I got in, and then I became a part of the Cleveland Opera Children's Chorus. And then everything went downhill when my voice changed.
Oh, no, really?
Well, you know, I was no longer a boy soprano, so I became a soloist with the Cleveland Singing Angels, and we toured overseas. And then from there, I wanted to go to the Interlochen Arts Academy,
which is
very famous. And I went for 2 summers, and there I started to train with Beverly Rinaldi, who was teaching at the Cleveland Institute of Music. And and I had a wonderful, wonderful balanced education at university school, which was all boy prep school, but we had a wonderful scholastic program, but we had a wonderful musical and theater arts program as well as sports. So the world roundedness of that and it was really just one of those things where, you know, I was playing cello, I was playing classical guitar. It was just like I was so involved. The Cleveland Music Settlement is another organization that has wonderful instruction. And so it just became a thing as a child where I was having fun and opportunities kept coming. My mom just kept, my parents leaned in on that. And after I went to Interlochen for 2 summers, that's when I started to really take things very, very seriously because I was competing with the best. And Beverly Rinaldi was teaching at the Cleveland Institute of Music, and she suggested that I become a young artist, meaning my senior year, I would go to school half a day, and then I would train at the conservatory. And I did that. And that was it, because at that point, I was a high schooler competing with people who were getting their master's degrees in one of the top conservatories in the country. So I started to understand now the kind of discipline it would take to be successful and the competition. And I didn't actually finish CIM. I started working in the business and I left before I graduated, which they didn't think at the time was a good idea, but I came back 2 years and was a star in Jacques Brel at the Lyric Opera Cleveland. And it was like, it was a full circle moment because they thought I wasn't, you know, they wanted me to stay. And I said, no, I'm ready to go and do this full time. And I've had a career in the business, and, you know, I tell people I've been very fortunate. I've never had a job. I've always worked in the business, in all aspects of the business, and I've been quite successful.
So what was your childhood room like?
Room?
Yeah.
Well, I remember I had football wallpaper because I love sports.
Okay. Yeah.
At football. So I wasn't one of these kids that was like the antisocial music kid who didn't fit in. I was the kid that was playing sports. I was really into sports, like football. You know, I was, I had a social life. I was a normal kid. I just understood because I was competing in the arts and I had a gift. I was in these environments where discipline was a part of the work. So, you know, when you're at the Cleveland Orchestra Children's Chorus, you know, you're not playing around or you get kicked out. When you're in Cleveland, you know, opera, when one of the kids at that time, it's like, no, when you're in rehearsal, you're focused and you do your work. And so that discipline was bred in me to know when to work and when to play. But when I played, I played. I had a very well-rounded childhood. And so, you know, my room was a boy's room. and
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. I get your kicks on a route 66. Oh, and why? From Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Oh, get your kicks on Route 66. Miss the Saturday dance. Heard they crowded the floor. Couldn't bear it without you. Don't get around much anymore. Well, I thought I'd visit the club. Got as far as the door. They'd have asked me about you. Don't get around much anymore.
Okay, I was interested to know because your background is so interesting to me because you are facile in many different things, in dance, in movement, and voice, and certain instruments, and also you are very interested in new technology. Mm-hmm. In fact, have a sub-business in new technology. Mm-hmm. In the arts. Mm-hmm. Which is something else I want to talk about. And then, you know, you started in a community, and why I was asking about your beginnings is because I have noticed, you know, just searching around for news of you online and getting ready for this interview, how much you do give back. Mm. And so, you know, that had to start somewhere. Mm. And so that's why I was, you know, Elijah, tell me about your childhood. Richard, you may be wondering what I'm talking about when I say giving back. So I don't know, you know, the albums that I sent you, the one Memories Unleashed, I sent you that last night. So it's a very evocative cover. And the cover art is, if you don't know the backstory, you look at the cover art and you say, well, what's this all about? So let me see if I can, it's radio, so let me see if I can describe it. So there's a profile of Elijah, very handsome, and there's an organic rose, like a plant that's growing behind him. And it's also growing as sort of over the cranium and over his head as well, the back of his head. And it's connected with the earth and is also connected with him as a portrait. And I was looking at that, trying to think, well, where is this? What is this all about? Because it's, okay, so, you know, Elijah, I'm an appraiser. So it's symbolic of something. So it's symbolist art. Mm-hmm. So what does it symbolize? And I was looking around and I was thinking, okay, well, this is because Elijah Rock is a Senior Atlantic Fellow for Equity in Brain Health with the Global Brain Institute at the University of California, San Francisco, in connection with their program at Trinity College in Dublin. And he comes to this because of a journey that he traveled with his father. And this father's journey with Alzheimer's disease. Elijah and his wife co-founded the Elijah Rock Foundation Incorporated, and he is giving back with music and the performing arts. Well, what does he do? He uses performing arts, science, technology, community advocacy, etc., to further the understanding of Alzheimer's disease and related dementias. And boy, this hit a chord with me. This foundation that he's founded strengthens connections amongst individuals and caregivers and people that, you know, are researching Alzheimer's. So Elijah, my dad, and it's so odd because I was just speaking with a friend of mine, in fact, a hairdresser, and she actually was telling me, oh, Elizabeth, my mom's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and I'm afraid for her. I'm afraid for our family. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. And I shared with her, I said, you know, my dad was a 5-year journey with Lewy body dementia. And nobody knew how to handle that. And, you know, it broke the family apart. And it was very, very tragic. But at the same time, I got a new dimension on understanding, you know, life, for better or worse, put it that way, Elijah. And, you know, so I found out that there's this advocacy program that Elijah does happens to be part of the 2025 release of this Memories Unleashed album that actually went pretty far up on the charts. And he actually, I was so fun, Richard, he actually does a duet with Antonia Bennett. Who is that? Well, that's the daughter of the late Tony Bennett, with a beautiful voice. And the Memories Unleashed is not just an album, it's an initiative. So the album is the first part of the initiative, is what I'm understanding from researching a little bit of Elijah online. I wonder, Elijah, tell me about your dad. I mean, it seems to me my dad was, he was very bright. He was a surgeon. And it seems like the brightest of the bright gets some kind of affliction. And it's almost like life saying, you were smart for so long, and now here you go. And, you know, it's like the very smartest people I know sometimes, you know, have this diagnosis, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it's so interesting. My dad is in a lot of ways Mensa when it comes to his intellect, master's in economics, taught chemistry, you know, a lot of, and he's still with us. But you know, it's been Antonia calls it the long goodbye. You know, of course you saw the late great Tony Bennett live with the disease for a long time, and that's why she's on the album, because we have that shared story, and she's become a dear friend. Yeah, it is a journey that is a very it's a very emotional journey that you go on with your parents. Lewy body, you can attest that that's it's a unique form of dementia, and it can be something to deal with. My dad has a mixed dementia, which is sort of a slow decline. But when I realized he had dementia, I had a friend who's already a fellow, and he suggested this program because the head of the Memory and Aging Center at UCSF, Dr. Bruce Miller, really has a heart for arts. He has a heart for empathy and how arts can help bridge the gap in terms of driving awareness and coming up with creative solutions. So I was one of, you know, very few artists in a cohort of mostly scientists and neuroscientists and blah, blah, blah. But so even though I'm not a scientist, I do have the mind for science in the way of technology, because I just have a love for technology. So being in San Francisco was great for me to learn more about the tech world. So yes, Memories Unleashed is that story. It's that story of me and my dad, and I had to come up with a project as part of my pilot project as being a fellow. And that was my initiative, the Memories Unleashed initiative, where we actually did a couple of shows in Miami and San Francisco, where we conducted research around how people felt about the experience, and after the experience, would they be more willing and open to get involved in clinical research and clinical trials? And
may I interrupt? When you say the experience, what experience were you putting people through?
Yeah, the show of Memories Unleashed that people are going to see in Santa Barbara, and me telling my story. And so what it does is it helps reduce stigma. If people can relate to it, they're literally, you know, not only neurologically, their brains are being, you know, strengthened and by music and jazz as an improvisational form of music. So it's creating new neural networks as you sit and experience. But are you more willing now to understand the power of music and brain health without me getting to a lot of the sciencey parts of it. But are you now more open to being getting more information and maybe now participating in clinical trials? And so
right.
our research found that people were more interested.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart. Your looks are laughable, unphotographable. Yet you're my favorite work of art. Unforgettable, though near or far. Like a song of love that clings to me, how the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more.
So I got to say that my father, we're talking about our fathers here, dear listeners, but both, you know, Elijah's dad with Alzheimer's, mixed Alzheimer's dementia, and my dad with Lewy body dementia. My father was tone deaf. He was married to my mother for years, who had she had perfect pitch. She's a graduate of conducting from Juilliard. I mean, and she's born in 29. So for a woman to be, you know, at Juilliard and studying conducting was really rare. And so she was a gifted musician. She taught and conducted all of my life. So my dad is tone deaf. He lives with my mom, who's a brilliant musician. And so my dad couldn't hold a tune, and he couldn't recognize. He had no recall. So he couldn't recognize, you know, if I sang him something, he couldn't recognize until he had dementia. That changed.
Interesting.
Yeah, it changed. And he could sing. He could recognize songs. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted people to buy him music and play, and mostly the kind of music you sing or will be singing for us in Santa Barbara. He wanted to hear the classics.
Wow.
You know, because he knew them. He knew them.
He grew up with them, right?
That's right.
Those songs are the soundtrack of his life and so many others. And even if you didn't grow up on their songs, it's part of the zeitgeist of American
music. Sure is.
It's America's classical music, right? And so that your testimony is so powerful, because that's the power of these songs, because he could relate. He could sing the songs. They tell a story. And that's how I set up the songs in the show. I'm telling my story with my father. And I set up the song in a way that maybe you haven't heard that song before. So maybe if I'm singing Unforgettable, I'm singing Unforgettable from a different prism of the typical love song. There's something else deeper in that song as I'm telling this story. So thank you for sharing that, because I think that people sometimes don't understand just how powerful these songs can be for wellness.
Right. And so the other contrast to my dad being tone deaf, my mom recently passed away. She was 96, and so she had a life in conducting and a life in she was an expert with two hand, what they call four hands piano. So it's, you know, it's a performance arts form where there's two concert grand pianos, and you know, there's maestros at both pianos. And so she was the accompanist for the Lyric in Chicago. So she was the rehearsal accompanist for them for years. I grew up in close by. And so when she was, and the weird thing was, I tell you what, when you said your dad was a chemist and a scientist, I started to think about that because my mom was a great mathematician as well as a musician. Mm. And so when she, so as she was, you know, succumbing to her illness, losing her, you know, cognition, et cetera, she was buoyed up by the real severe classics, like the Mozartian, the Bach, so she could hear the numbers behind the music. So wow. My dad could hear his life track behind the classics, and my mom could hear that super logical, numerate. Remember I told you she had perfect pitch?
Right.
So she could hear that part, and she would insist on having the music on 24 hours of the day. Mm. And she'd have Mozart, and she'd have Bach, and I think a few others that had that regiment behind, you know, the mathematical algorithm type of where if you were a music theorist?
Yes.
You know, and you like the people at your schools where they taught music theory, they were mathematicians basically.
Right. Eurythmics and all that stuff.
Yeah. And so that's where she came from. Yeah. So that was that side of the music. But I mean, even the most simple caretakers at their, you know, my parents' respective places, they would be like, well, you know, if you can't get through to them, sing to them.
There you go.
If you can't get through to them, sing to them. You know, bring music in here.
That's right.
Bring music in here. And if you're having a bad day with them, bring music in here.
There you go.
So anyway, Richard's giving us time. We got to go to a quick break. I want to talk a little bit about the Alzheimer's Association, the Alzheimer's Society, and the support that they're giving you as a musician. I want to hear what their involvement is with your initiative, Elijah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, cool. Richard, let's go to a quick break. And just to reintroduce, I'm speaking with the great classical trained singer, vocalist, entertainer. We have seen him in Porgy and Bess here at ETC in Santa Barbara. He's going to visit us in Santa Barbara for one night only, and that'll be August 22nd at 8 p.m. at the New Vic. Scott Devine brought this to my attention, and I thought, oh, I've got to jump on this one. This is too fantastic. Okay, don't turn that dial. Back with Elijah Rock in 2 minutes.
No complaints and no regrets. I still believe in chasing dreams than placing bets. For I have learned that all you give is all you get. So give it all you got. I just found out about love and I like it. Yes, I like it. I like what love has been doing to me.
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I'm talking with Elijah Rock, who's he is a fantastic entertainer and performer and vocalist, but he also has a heart as big as all outdoors. And we've been talking about his relationship giving back. He went on a journey with his dad, which is ongoing with Alzheimer's. And anybody out there who's listening to me will know that you got a parent with Alzheimer's or a loved one, music is one of the main keys to getting in there and showing love. It's just one of the main keys. And Elijah and his wife have this amazing Elijah Rock Foundation, where they are working with the Global Brain Health Institute, which is, you know, based in two places, San Francisco and UC San Francisco, but is also based at Trinity College in Dublin. Who's Alzheimer's Institute and Association and Alzheimer's Society have supported Elijah with his particular brand of healing, and that is this album, which we will hear excerpts from on the 22nd in Santa Barbara, Memories Unleashed. And so funding from the Global Brain Health Institute and the Alzheimer's Association as well. And I want to know, okay, so from the association, Elijah, who is influencing you? You mentioned there you are, you're in San Francisco, you're being made a fellow, and you're surrounded by neuroscientists. How did they think to include an accomplished, trained career from boyhood musician? How did they think to include?
Well, Dr. Bruce Miller, who's head of the Memory and Aging Center at UCSF, he is one of the top neuroscientists in the world, and he has a heart for the arts. And they believe that the arts have a place in bringing awareness to Alzheimer's and dementia in a way that scientists can't. We have a way of communicating with caregivers in a way that scientists can't. So they understand that it's a holistic approach. There's the disease, and then there's the awareness of the disease. It is so, you know, it's an all hands on deck issue. So for me, it was easy for him to, he just saw what the impact. You know, for them, it's all about impact. It's what happens after the fellowship. These scientists go back to wherever they are. Some of them are artists. It's about, I would say, 90% science heavy. But artists who they believe can make impact, they bring into the program. One of my friends who was a fellow before me is a writer, and he wrote a play. His play has been traveling around. So I think that's how it all, you know, happened. And I'm just very, very grateful for the opportunity because now I'm a senior fellow, and I'm going to be going to South Africa in December as part of a global summit, because it's a part of the Atlantic Philanthropies. So this is it's a movement of collaborators and scientists and artists around the world. Who are one mission to make impact.
Okay, so tell me more. You're going to, it's a global summit, and it's happening in South Africa.
Yeah, so it'll be in South Africa, and it's hosted by the Atlantic Philanthropies, which is the parent of the Atlantic Institute. Of the Global Brain Health Institute. So Chuck Feeney was the billionaire who left about $6 to $8 billion to these causes. And so there's different under Atlantic Philanthropies, there's different columns. There's like health, social equity, different, you know, verticals. Brain health equity is one of his big ones. So, he left a lot of money. He believed, I think he was the billionaire who coined the idea of giving while living. So that he wanted to pretty much give all of his wealth away before he passed away. And pretty much he accomplished that. So it is through his legacy that this is all possible.
I got a girl who's always late anytime we have a date, but I love her. Yes, I love her. On a clear day, rise and look around you, and you'll see who you are.
So I just want to give a shout out some of the research that I was doing before, and I think it'd be worth it. There's so many people here in Santa Barbara that are facing this journey too. Mm-hmm. If you're interested, there's ways to give back yourself. And I want to point you to gbhi.org, And there you can learn a little bit more about the global, this is the initiative that we're talking about here. That's a really good website for finding out more. You can go to the Elijah, and you can spell it all out, theelijahrockfoundation.org. And you can find out more about the initiatives that Elijah and his team are putting together, how he's worked this theme of this particular show that he's bringing to us in Santa Barbara on the 22nd of August, so you would think, well, it's a story that Elijah's telling through music, which are the classics. So, and if you could hear what I heard last night, dear listener, so when he talks about, when he sings Here's to Life and Unforgettable, there's a subtext there. And so that subtext is what his lecture is. So you're not hearing a lecture, you're hearing something different in the song. I can't describe it. You got to, and Richard will be patching in and out some of Elijah's songs so you can hear for yourself during this interview. But there's a subtext there. So it's not a cold lecture we're thinking about. We are going to be attending an awakening. Okay, this is more than just it's a concert, but it's an awakening of sorts. I want to also talk a little bit about myshowbiz.com, myshowbiz.ai. I want to talk about that, and I want to give that some time. Richard, I want you to go to quick break now, because I want to talk a little bit about what Elijah has designed for all of you people out there that are listening that are in the creative world. This is a tool for the creatives. And I've never seen anything quite like it. I was very impressed. And I think we need to talk about this. Elijah is the founder and CEO of myshowbiz.ai. It is an AI-powered career operating system. And just let's say if his websites and what he's done with his persona online is any test of this, it works. So we're going to go to quick break. When we get back, I want Elijah to talk a little bit about my show biz. And if you are in the creative community here on the Central Coast, this is something you need to pay attention to. Okay, don't turn that down. Back in a minute with Elijah Rock.
A sacred arch over the chasm of memory. A bridge connecting moments we hold close. Hibernating seeds in the tender soil of tomorrow. But oh, the silent thieves. Alzheimer's. Dementia. Distorting life's melody. Extorting precious memories. A sinister cruelty to our people. A diagnosis is a flickering grace. Smothered by stigma. Neglected by inadequate care, shadowed by ignorance. Pops is now walking this road. Short-term memories scatter like autumn leaves bullied by restless winds. The worn faces of great aunties, uncles, our bloodlines diluted through loss. We've seen it before. Caregivers as steadfast as ancient oaks, your silent labor hums a sweet hymn of grace. Take a moment. One day at a time. Music is a rare gem, a thread that binds us. The rhythm moves, pops, foot taps lightly. These songs cradle his mind. Pops is young again, a spark of life rekindled in the notes. My story is your story. It is yours. It is ours. It is the story of a people unseen. Let us move our bodies. Let us eat foods that love on us. Sleep deeply, and as we recharge, we step forward, a quiet revolution. Let us sing. Let us dance. We shall unfurl the tapestry of our collective story, bound by beautiful songs, nature's infinite harmonies. Yeah. Hope eternal. Memories unleashed.
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I have the great honor and pleasure of talking with Elijah Rock, performer, vocalist, entertainer, actor, inventor, I don't know, innovator. We're talking about the number of things that he does with his career that, you know, you would, here's how we're trained in this country. If you do one thing, that's what you do. Okay, you're doing one thing and that's what you do. I'm a this and I'm a that.
Yeah.
But not this man I'm talking to. This man is not doing one thing. He's using a platform, and he's building platforms around that platform. And that is an overarching theme, I think. And so I want to bring up the myshowbiz.ai. And so many people right now are so afraid of AI. And none the least are the people, Elijah, in the creative community. They're like, oh, my job's going to be going away. Some machine is going to write my plays for me. Some machine is going to write my poetry for me. Some machine is going to write my music for me. Yeah. Some machine is going to do, you know, it's just going to take over my, some machine's going to paint for me. You know, I want you to talk a little bit about myshowbiz.ai.
Please. Thank you. Myshowbiz.ai, we launched our hero product in market October. So we are about to change the game in a significant way in terms of how we're going to help independent artists. So it came out of my own pain. I booked my own national tour, and though the experience was incredible, and though at the end of, say, the first month, I was up, if you will, in terms of it was, you know, working out. But when you're an independent artist and you're doing all of these things on your own, I've had agents, I've not had agents, managers, now I don't, but I still booked my own tour. And when I came back, I had an aha moment. Now, by the way, this is my second time as a founder. I was a founder of another company called MindSync that was around brain health and wellness and actually reimagining what an EHR system could look like in an assisted living memory care community where my wife is an executive director. So I'd already been on the journey as a founder, understanding the tech stacks, understanding the architecture, having a co-founder. So I've been on the journey. So when I decided to walk away from that because I wasn't enough of a domain expert to really sort of build at the speed that I wanted, when I came back in May from the first leg of the tour, what I realized in a year is that what I could build on my own as an MVP through vibe coding, I couldn't have done it a year ago. It would have cost me about $150,000. So it was opportunity in a lightning, in a like a lightning like lightning in a bottle. And I sat in an office for a week and I said, I have to download my pain of what it's like to manage all of these things on my own and not have any tools. I have to have tools to reduce the friction of managing this operation, or I cannot scale and sustain this level of activity, because I'll get burned out, I'll become jaded, and then the art will suffer.
Okay, so I have to interrupt. So I think I'm understanding when you say you've got all these, you know, all these things on the boiler. But, you know, you've got to manage your own tour. You have to manage your own merch. You have to manage your own, you know, bookings. You have to manage. There's so many things that go into it. So I think I've had a similar experience. So I had a gallery, and I love the art world, and you know, that's my life. And I had a gallery for a good 16 years. And it became very successful. Mm-hmm. And that was fantastic. I was a single mom. I raised a kid that was great. It was a success. Guess what? I had nothing to do with the art by the 16th year. I was upstairs doing books, running trucks, doing everything I was bad at and couldn't do very well. And I had to learn all that. I had to learn accounting. You know, an artist. I didn't want to do that. And yet, for me to keep the success, I had to leave what I started the business to do completely in the dust. Yeah. I had to hire somebody to be me so I could be an accountant and a bookkeeper and a manager and a lawyer and a truck driver. I mean, Elijah, it was craziness.
Yeah, it's a lot, you know, and we're businesses, right? And so, for example, I built a scanning technology into my platform, for example, where I could scan about a big, thick stack of receipts. It scans, populates right there, bam, it's done. I don't have to, it logs, it's going to handle my tax prep at the end of the year. It scans contracts. I can look at contracts and it will negotiate contracts. It looks at my calendar, booking opportunities. It actually will route, AI will route opportunities. The AI, you know, understands what's going on. Coach AI is the coach, is the brain, the central intelligence brain that understands everything that's going on in my ecosystem. I can give my manager or my agent access to edit and view, and it will handle it, all the money intelligence of what's coming in, what's coming out. I can do it myself, or I can have my manager or agent, you know, help manage that, but it's all there. So I can see there's transparency between what my manager and agent's doing and what I'm doing. And that's great because we need those relationships to be transparent. And so it is a operational career intelligence system that helps you understand all the economics of your business in a nutshell.
And, okay, so if people are interested, they need to sort of check it out, like I was doing last night. Go to myshowbiz.ai.
Myshowbiz.ai. And the cool thing about it right now is we're doing a 100 founder special. So we have, right, first 100 people are founders, $29 at the pro level for life. Now, this is what people really need to understand about myshowbiz.ai, is that I'm already talking to not only talent, but management agencies and talent agencies and venues are interested. Because I'm creating this discovery mechanism where once you're on this platform and you're using this platform all the way to the way it will help you market, like you're going to be able to use our platform to connect with your email strategy, like a MailChimp that's going to be connected. You'll be able to actually raise money when you're doing shows through a QR technology. You'll be able to have people, bam, here's $20 towards your album. You see, we're not monetizing our fans at the shows, right? We we're doing the whole old school, you know, write your email on a piece of paper. Well, people leave. So when you're walking around, how about they just, you know, take a quick shot of your QR code, whether it's on their phone or it's a little card on the table, and now they're into your world. They can give you their email and their telephone number. So now you can engage with them more viscerally, right? Because nowadays social media is not driving people to shows. But if they get an email from you and a text message that says, "Hey, how are you?" Now you have a fan who's buying into you. They can choose to follow you. And now that's a personal relationship. And so that's what this platform is going to do as well. So what I'm telling people is, even though right now I have people buying the MVP, that's how great the pain is, right? People are buying the MVP model before the real hero product. So let me just kind of give you a real quick insight on what's happening behind the scenes. I have a young engineer, one of the top engineers. He left Meta not too long ago. He is a brilliant engineer. And so we are now moving from the MVP to our full V1 product that releases in October. So people who get in now are getting in on the vision and understanding the pain is so great. I mean, they can use the MVP model. It's still functional. But what's about to come is going to blow people's socks off. So we're right now in a $250,000 pre-seed raise right now. And I have producers on Broadway, producers, you know, people literally saying, "How can I invest in this?" Because they understand that it's already validated and that, you know, that this is going to be a game changing product. So I invite people to come in. At this point, I'm open to share the product, do a demo. Right now it's by appointment only. But when you see where this is going, it's just, I'm so excited to just get.
I can see that. I think I thought it was fantastic when I looked at it. I thought so many creators would benefit greatly. I want to just give one more shout out. This is going to be, if you're interested, you can take just a look. It's simple. It's if I can understand it, you can understand it, my dears out there. It's a myshowbiz.ai. And it's promulgated by a person who's been for 25 years doing this for himself, which is, you know, Elijah that I'm talking about here. Yeah. So you've got 25 years of experience on the road, shall we say, of somebody like this who's doing it. So enough about that. I have two questions before Richard's going to kick us off the airwaves. First of all, there's my favorite song in the world, and I didn't hear it. Of course, maybe you know it. It's called What's New. I love that song, What's New. I wondered if you knew that song. That's a classic, and I love that song. Okay. That's my song of songs, What's New, and I forget who wrote it, but it's an oldie. Okay. It's a classic. What's new? How's the world treating you? We haven't met since then. Gee, but it's great to see you again. I love that song.
What a beautiful voice yourself.
Oh, no, I have terrible. It's like bass alto. Anyway, that song. And then my question was, is there a song that chokes you up that you have a problem executing? Or is there some song that you're just like, oh, God, you know, please don't ask me that.
Here's the life chokes me up. I also do a song in there that's not on the album called Sometimes I Feel Like a Fatherless Child.
Yeah.
There's a spiritual called Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child, but I sing it Fatherless Child.
And yeah.
Those two songs. Here's to Life, though, has a way of.
I could hear that.
It has a way of choking you up because it's like you're looking at the life of my father, but then I'm also looking at how does that impact how I'm living my life. And so, you know what I mean? It's like I go in and out of like how his life is affecting my life and how, you know, the things I've learned from how he's lived his life that I want to do different and also life is ending. What does that mean for my life as a midlife person? And it's so heavy and it hits me at different moments at different times, which is like, you know, so I just brace my, I don't even brace myself. I just allow it to happen because I don't know when it's going to happen, but almost every night there's a moment in that song where I kind of get choked up, and I have to move through it. But it, yeah.
Yeah, so I was. That's the song that it came through when I was listening last night to Memories, that that I was thinking, okay, there's something behind this. There's this, you know, there's something very deep behind mm-hmm. this. Here's to Life that you sing, and also, you know, Elijah, you had the opportunity at one point to go in a lot of different directions. You know, you had the opera behind you. You had different even instruments and different personas as a performer behind you, and you have chosen to do a certain road. If you weren't doing the road you're doing now, what would be another Elijah?
Another Elijah? What do you mean? What do you mean?
Another Elijah would be an opera singer, would be a dancer,
Well, you know, a horn player. I've always had a love for like trombone, because you know I tap dance, so I you know,
yeah.
I was able to fulfill that that talent as a tap dancer, and I would say a horn player. I just think it's so cool what horn players are able to do. Opera. Sometimes I think about opera, but for me, opera is so limiting, and the world itself is so limiting. And I thought to myself, man, and so it's interesting that in the world of musical theater, I have been the guy who they call for the legit or the classical stuff, like Porgy. Right. You know, I played Roland Hayes, big regional theaters, Roland Hayes, who was the first classical singer before Paul Robeson to reach international acclaim. I mean, what a great story. Breath and Imagination, which, by the way, that there's so much with Breath and Imagination, because the technique of Breath and Imagination is very powerful. So it's not just the show Breath and Imagination, it was the technique of Breath and Imagination. And that actually informed me when I studied with Vladimir Chernov, the great Russian baritone, who was my second major vocal instructor, still a friend. And he taught me a bel canto that traces back to Manuel Garcia, the inventor of bel canto, who happened to be a Spaniard. And so he teaches one of the most rare forms of bel canto in the world, Vladimir does, and it is based on the philosophy of breath and technique of Breath and Imagination. So, wow, that was a full circle moment, because I landed that role after studying with Vladimir.
I see.
Right. And so that technique is extremely powerful. We could have a whole nother session just on why.
I wish we could. I'm going to make you so jealous.
Yeah.
You're just going to be like, I got to be you, Elizabeth, for a minute.
Yeah.
So, you know, my background was in ballet. So for 33 years, you know, I was in various ballet companies and I was in dance.
Wow.
And we did a fundraiser, and I was in, I'm going to age myself, but part of our company was Pittsburgh Ballet Theater. Mm. And they were making a movie on us called Flashdance. And this was ages ago, you know, Flashdance, old movie, but they were using some of our dancers in that movie. And this gentleman who was interested in tap dance, named Gregory Hines, was actually in Pittsburgh at the time. And he said, oh, you're doing a fundraiser for dance. I'm going to come. Before I knew it, there was Gregory Hines.
Oh, wow.
And one of the greatest tap dancers, if not the greatest in all of the universe. And he was going to dance with some of our girls and show them. I mean, he was a long, tall drink of water. You know, people in ballet are not very big.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were just amazed at the fluidity of the man. This is years ago, but I thought I'd just drop a name and make you super.
He's great. He's great. You know him, Sammy. So many. But he's one of the. He was a well-rounded performer. He was a tap dancer, but he was also an actor and a singer. And
yeah.
Those are the types of talents that I've always admired. Sammy Davis Jr., Harry Belafonte. Those are my icons. William Warfield in the classical arts. Those are the type of people. Johnny Hartman when it comes to the Great American Songbook. Billy Eckstein. You know, these are the people, Arthur Prysock. I mean, Freddie Cole was a mentor of mine, Nat King Cole's brother. So I like those are the artists that I'm influenced by and have sort of modeled my sound. You know, it's like my sound is an amalgamation
yeah.
of all these great singers. And so I found my sound. I found my voice within the pantheon of the greats before me. But yeah, I mean, he was great. He was a great all around entertainer. The great Gregory.
I just thought I'd make you jealous. And just one more shout out. This is yeah. I know. Well, you're younger than I am, but yeah, he sat with me at my table. It was like I can't believe this. Okay,
I'm jelly.
So this is August 22nd. Elijah Rock, who we've been speaking to, will be doing a command performance one night only. And I urge you, this is a performance of Memory Unleashed. And you've heard our interview today where it's an intimate connection with Alzheimer's Association and all the major research that Elijah's been part of. And it's an international movement now. And so we get to have the benefit of understanding how Elijah has played an instrumental role. One night only, Saturday, August 22nd, 8 p.m. at the New Vic, downtown Santa Barbara. Tickets are going fast, according to Scott Devine, the general manager there. So do not be a stranger. Do not be afraid. Get online and get those tickets. We have had a wonderful time. Thank you, Elijah, for being part of our show today. I appreciate very much everything you do.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. It's been great. And I can't wait to meet all you folks in Santa Barbara. Who I don't know. And those who saw me in Porgy. I mean, if you've come to the show, if you came to Porgy, that was one of the classics. You know, shows in the history of the theater there. So if you came to Porgy, definitely come back and say hi. I want to see how many people came to Porgy that came back and said, I saw you in Porgy.
Oh, you're going to get quite a few.
That'll be special.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Elijah. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.